It's 7:40 Friday morning with the WSGW Morning Team Show. Thank you for joining in on a Friday, heading into another football weekend. And with WSGW, that does mean localized football with the Saginaw Valley State University football Cardinals ready to fly once again. And to start the pregame show now, we welcome voice of Cardinals football in studio via the telephone. His voice of Cardinals football, J.J. Bame. J.J., good morning to you, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday indeed. As we're upon another big football weekend, SVSU ready to play again. But before we talk this weekend, of course, we talk about last weekend, a little perspective. Cardinals had to go on the road out to Maryland for a first-time ever opponent in Bowie State. And it was a loss, but I thought overall pretty competitive game. You tell me from your broadcast standpoint, what, Cardinals went up early, fell behind, came back to have a lead going into the fourth quarter, just couldn't hold it.
Yeah, SVSU jumped out to a 10-0 lead. One of the touchdown that the Cardinals got in the first half was a defensive touchdown where they were able to sack the Bowie State quarterback, Jerome Johnson. Ball comes loose, and then Victor Abraham, the SVSU linebacker, recovered it in the end zone for a touchdown. But then SVSU gave it back because Bowie State was able to get a pick six, returning an interception return for a touchdown, not get them on the board. And then they were able to put together a nice drive before halftime. Bowie State went into the locker room on top 14-10. Then, as you said, SVSU got a big strike, a 40-yard touchdown pass to Casey Williams to go on top 17-14. Cardinals then fell behind, did get a safety to make it 21-19, SVSU trailing with 8 minutes to play. But then Bowie State put together another long touchdown drive, and they were ultimately able to win 28-19.
Overall perspective on the game, especially from the coaching standpoint, pleased at the play, concerned over certain aspects of play. What was the story after the game?
Well, I think you have to be pleased with SVSU's rush defense. SVSU allowed a net total of 1 rushing yard. So they did a good job holding Bowie State in the run game, and that'll be important for the Cardinals this coming game tomorrow night against Ferris. But I thought that went well, and overall I thought the SVSU defense played pretty well. They forced turnovers and things, like we mentioned, got a safety. On the other side of the ball, I think SVSU is going to have to find a way to improve in the passing game because, you know, Bowie State really stacked the box and, you know, put SVSU in positions where they were forced to throw, and SVSU didn't have a good day passing the football. And so that's a situation they're going to have to improve that going into tomorrow night's game against Ferris State and as the season progresses.
Well, let's dig into that game tomorrow night and Ferris State. And, you know, as much as we're used to following football team year after year after year, as we have a, you know, we're being reintroduced to SVSU football, if you will, this year. We're being reintroduced to all the opponents, including the traditional ones like Ferris State, always competitive, we assume. They're going to field a football team that's going to be tough to play tomorrow night, especially on their home field. What do they bring to the table these days?
Well, the most interesting thing they bring to the table is a new quarterback in Jared Bernhardt, who this is his first season of college football. He was the National Player of the Year in college lacrosse and then finished his college lacrosse career. But again, with COVID, everybody gets this extra year of eligibility. He decided to use his to then go to Ferris State to play quarterback. And he's having a heck of a season, especially rushing the football. He's used to running away from people who are trying to hit him with sticks. Now he's running away from people who are trying to tackle him. And, you know, last Saturday he had 14 carries for 210 yards as the running quarterback.
Are they running an option offense, or is this that he's just making plays?
It is an option offense. So some of it will be, you know, quarterback read option type runs. Sometimes it'll be what now in football vernacular, it's called an RPO, a run pass option, where the quarterback rolls out and then he's got the option of either throwing the football or running with the football. So a number of those are designed runs. But again, I talked about, you know, one of the keys to tomorrow is last week, Ferris State rushed for 351 yards in their win over Ashland 45-19. Last week, as I mentioned, SVSU only allowed a single rushing yard. So that'll be one of the areas to watch for SVSU, because if you're able to hold Ferris, again, I don't know that you're going to hold Ferris to a single rushing yard, but if you're able to control their ground game, that could put SVSU in a position where then they've got an opportunity to make some plays on offense and keep themselves in the football game with a chance to win.
That sounds like an interesting aspect of the game we'll have to pay attention to. So for SVSU, you mentioned improving the passing game. So are there ways you think that any design plays, any ways that you can improve a pass? Do you do some shorter passes? Do you try to open it up with the longer passes because your running game is successful? I mean, you know, there's all kinds of different things you can do if you're trying just to maybe get some confidence for your quarterback and receivers.
Yeah, you know, I think that'll be interesting. I think that's still a little bit of a feeling out process. Again, Matt Considine, who's the SVSU quarterback, you know, he just joined the program over the summer. Again, he'd started his college career at Wake Forest, then he transferred to Holy Cross. Did see some playing time at Holy Cross, but wanted to go somewhere where he felt he had a chance to earn the starting quarterback's job, which now he has at SVSU. You know, wasn't as accurate as I think he would have liked to have been in last Saturday's game against Bowie State. By the same token, again, he's new to this offense. He's new to this system. And as we saw for Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers last weekend, even surefire Hall of Famers can have an off game. So we'll have to see where all of that shakes out. I know he and the coaches have been working this week to try to find those things that are going to play to his strengths and find opportunities for him to hit SVSU's receivers, particularly when they're open, because SVSU has a very talented receiving core. We've seen that through the first two games, as well as throughout their careers. There are playmakers for SVSU catching the football, so you got to get the ball in their hands and give them an opportunity to make those plays. And then that'll open up some opportunities in the rushing game, too, because SVSU has shown they can run the football. But what you saw for Bowie State last week was once SVSU struggled to pass the football, they were going with eight guys in the box all the time, and that makes it a lot harder to run the football.
Yeah, tough to be one-dimensional, we know. Let's take a moment maybe just to clarify for folks that don't know what's going on this year. This is a GLIAC game that SVSU is playing against Ferris State. The GLIAC a little different, JJ. We need to update listeners perhaps on that.
Correct. So this is a conference game. This opens conference schedule for SVSU and for Ferris. But for SVSU, there will be a non-conference game the second Saturday in October. You have seen some teams leave the GLIAC, the most recent one to leave the GLIAC being Ashland, who Ferris State played and defeated last Saturday. And what that also means is that to build an eight-game conference schedule, GLIAC teams are playing one GLIAC opponent twice. In SVSU's case, that's Wayne State. So SVSU will travel to Wayne State, not tomorrow night, but the following Saturday night, and then SVSU will host Wayne State late in October.
And how many conference games then will each team play?
It will be an eight-game conference schedule. So each there's 11 weeks in the Division II season, and so each Division II, each GLIAC team will play eight conference games, and then they have three non-conference dates. Now, again, depending on when your bye week is, you know, after this coming week, which kind of opens conference play, you may or may not be able to find an opponent. That's not always easy. That's why SVSU has two Texas teams on the schedule, is that league also has an odd number of teams. So they've got a team who every week is also looking for a non-conference opponent. But that's why you're seeing kind of, yes, an unusual, atypical GLIAC schedule for SVSU and others this season.
All right. Appreciate the clarification. I know we talked about it a few weeks ago, but since it's officially starting conference play, we want to make sure listeners knew what was going on. All right, JJ, we've got, 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock kick at Ferris State. We're going to have listeners on 100.5 News Radio WSUW, as well as online. If you go to WSUW.com and look for the Listen Live option, click on the local sports stream, and you will hear the SVSU football game. And obviously, JJ, we'll be listening in and listening for an SVSU victory.
We'd love to see it happen.